Mic'd Up, Our Women Entrepreneurs is brought to you by Scottish Edge and is supported by the Royal Bank of Scotland. More details on Royal Bank of Scotland's accredited support for women in business a little later. Hello everyone and welcome to Mic'd Up with me, Alison Walker. In this series of podcasts, we're talking women entrepreneurs in Scotland, and I've met and chatted to some incredible female founders about their journeys. It hasn't been easy for them by any means, in all sorts of ways, and there are still barriers for many women, especially in this particular field of entrepreneurship. So we're going to take a slight deviation in this episode to find out a bit more about that and the support that is out there for women should they embark on this sometimes perilous but often very rewarding adventure. At the epicentre of entrepreneurship is Scottish Edge, Scotland's biggest funding competition, offering grants to help grow startups, social enterprises and charities, and funded by the Royal Bank of Scotland. And I have two key figures in that world, if you like, joining me now. I'm delighted to be chatting with Evelyn McDonald, CEO of Scottish Edge, and Mandy Bailey from Business Banking at the Royal Bank of Scotland. Thank you both for taking the time. Don't look so terrified. Don't look so terrified to talk our women entrepreneurs. You know, I'm always curious about how folk get to where they are now, because it may be straightforward on paper sometimes, but it's never quite the full story, is it, Evelyn? So can you tell me a little bit about your journey, first of all, to Scottish Edge?
Okay, well, so I started off, I got a job in business support in my early 20s, and then also dabbled with small business myself at that time. And then that took me to an organisation called the Prince of Scottish Youth Business Trust, which worked with young people aged 18 to 30. And I worked there for many years, initially running one of the regional offices, then running the, then I stepped into an operations role and I managed the 18 regional managers we had across the country, helping around 600 young people a year. And then laterally, I went part-time at the Trust when I had my family, and I set up and ran a revolving loan fund, which gave additional funding to the young people that had come through the Trust in order to grow their business. And that's when I really started focusing on that sort of growth stage and how actually quite small sums of money, because we lent around 10 to 25,000, could really make a difference to moving businesses forward. And while I was in that role, I got involved in judging at Scottish Edge, which had started as a competition designed and delivered by Scottish Enterprise. And so I joined in as a judge from round two, and then they pushed it out to the private sector. And that's when I stepped up to become CEO. And actually, I think, you know, if we go back in time, I'd been involved in a tiny startup in my mid-20s. But then when I took over it at Scottish Edge, that was also another startup. Because at the time we had the competition, we had the idea behind it, but there was no entity, no bank accounts, no money, no team, no IT, no anything to run that. So we had to put all of that in place to deliver it going forward.
We'll go into that in a bit more detail, but Mandy, just to say a proper hello, you have the title, and I was looking at this, Regional Ecosystem Manager. Yeah, what does that mean?
Exactly, what does that mean? So, like, the title is far more complicated than the actual role. Essentially, I primarily look after, collaborate with, it's not look after, but collaborate with partners to really identify the best practice and identify opportunities to support businesses, not just at the startup stage, but as they're growing their business and even all the way through to exit. So a big part of my role is working with partners to try and deliver the support that's needed for businesses, both collaborating with partners and the supporting their businesses, but also the businesses within our own accelerator hubs.
And I guess you both run your own startups. How much, because they always say you almost have to have worn the t-shirt before you actually allowed into the room. It's important, isn't it?
It's critical, if I'm being honest. And it was probably one of the big criticisms I had when I was in my family business and then when I was starting. Like, I ran two businesses. I ran a kind of satellite business of a design business myself alongside my family business. And then when I started my actual kind of business, my retail wholesale business. I think I found it challenging taking advice from people who had never actually walked in those shoes. So they hadn't had their own business and didn't understand as always the challenges that came with that. There's lots that do, but there's lots that don't. So I used to find that quite challenging. So I think it's really important. And when I came into this role, having had that experience, there's almost an invisible barrier that drops immediately. Yeah. Doesn't matter who the business is that I'm having a chat with. As soon as they know that I've walked in their shoes and I have that experience and I have had those sacrifices and the highs and lows and ups and downs, the barrier almost drops immediately, just in terms of how open and vulnerable they are and how honest a conversation they're prepared to have.
And is that particular to women, or is that just as...
No, I don't think so. And I was going to say, I think actually it helps at Scottish Edge as well, because when we introduce ourselves and say we're a private sector-led social enterprise, so we're responsible for generating our own income. We've gone through the recruitment challenges, the defining our vision and values, the setting up our IT systems, the scrabbling around for money. And I think it does make a difference.
Really,
I think when your clients realise that, you know, you're not a public sector supported business support system, that a lot of the things that they're going to be talking to you about are the things that you're living yourself in your own business, it does make a difference.
Yeah, I definitely feel that, and I wonder what it was like before, when businesses were setting up, you know, before they had people actually that made the decisions about funding because they've run their own business and they know. I mean, there's a lot of knowledge and experience in there that you can utilise now, but it must
yes.
have been hard for businesses in the past.
I think, though, to be fair, I mean, I've been in this space a long time. And there has, I mean, I go back, my very early experience of business support was in enterprise agencies, and there used to be a network of enterprise agencies across Scotland. But there has, well, way back to, I think, the late 80s, there have been organisations available in some format. And there used to be a scheme called the Enterprise Allowance Scheme when I was younger, where if you set up in business, you could still get paid. You could get paid a stipend. I mean, it was £40 a week from the government, but that helped people to...
Yeah.
And at that time, that was a decent amount of cash,
and it
gave people the confidence to take that risk. I mean, I know Sir Tom Hunter benefited from the Enterprise Allowance Scheme when he set up his initial selling shoes out of the back of a van.
Well,
my dad did as well.
Interesting that I know there's been this big report about women in business, women in particularly setting up their own businesses, and I'm reading these stats. 1 in 5 of Scotland's entrepreneurs are women. Startups founded by women in Scotland receive only 2% of overall investment capital. Evidence that the entrepreneurial and related capabilities of women are equal to those of men. I've been around the country, as you know, chatting with some of our amazing women entrepreneurs, and maybe I've just got lucky and seen some amazing, but those stats still require a bit of attention, don't they?
No, they're really depressing. And I think actually what's depressing for me is they haven't changed much over the years. What we've seen a difference in, and I think, Mandy, you have within your role as well, is that we see more male-female partnership businesses or mixed management, mixed leadership teams, but we still don't see a huge increase on that sort of 20% of you know, that figure around women entrepreneurs has not shifted significantly. In the years that I've been doing this job, which is coming up for 9 years now, it's not moved significantly.
So what, I guess, what needs to be done?
That's a big question.
It's systematic. Like, I think it's systematic as well. I think it's a whole combination of societal issues at play. I think before we even address some of these, and I think...
Well, the report says sexism was still rife in society.
So I think there's a combination of that. There's experiences of, you know, most women are still the primary caregiver for children and or elderly parents as well, so they have a lot of
things. I think that's a huge factor.
Caring responsibilities, and therefore, and it's not their lack of ambition or appetite, but their willingness and actual, the time that they have available to engage fully in an entrepreneurship journey. And in actually some respects, it is the, you think it is the most flexible, and that's the reason I went into it when I had my daughter, because you think it is the most flexible route for you, but actually, if it's a business that you're trying to really scale your business, the dedication and support
it's 24/7,
isn't it? 24/7.
Yeah.
And if you have those other responsibilities, particularly around kind of caring, that can be challenging. And that's not to even mention the funding. That's before
right.
we even get into the issues around funding. So
and the challenges that women face getting funding. And I think that is going to change, because I think that, you know, there's organisations are being forced to have greater transparency around who they're lending to and their support of women. So there's lots of organisations have signed up for the Investing in Women Code. And I think, and women are much more confident about talking about poor experiences. So I think shining a light on those. So I do think that it will start to change, but it's certainly not changing very quickly, because, you know, we've been talking about this for years now and it doesn't seem to be making a significant difference.
No.
And I would say at Edge, we've done a number of things, but we're not turning the dial as much as we would. So, for example, one of the things we've gone for is gender parity on judging panels, so that women never have to walk in and face a group of men, which is extremely common when I first get into business support. And, you know, we also try to shine a light on women as much as possible. If we're looking at doing a case study, we almost always try and do it on women. We make sure that when we're asked to provide speakers, that we've got equal amounts of men and women. Often, in fact, as I say, we push women as much as possible, because we feel that women being able to see other women is one of the key ways of getting over. How it is possible to do this despite the challenges,
despite
that we all understand that it is still possible to set up, you know, for women to set up brilliant businesses in Scotland and to get the funding they need to do so. That still is a message that you need to get out there, and women need to hear that, believe that, and then have the confidence to try and follow in their path.
Yeah, seeing it's role models, you know, mentoring role models. If you can't, Judy Murray used to say, you can't be it if you can't see it.
Yeah.
So you need those other women out there telling potentials
to
their stories and what's happened
to
them.
Others, which is why things like this are so important. I think the more we do this and uncover those stories to inspire other women to start. And I think there's that as well. So we've seen a decline, particularly over the last couple of years, in the number of women starting businesses in the first place. So
it's frustrating.
It can be really frustrating. I mean, we were, I gave evidence 10, I think it's probably 10 years ago now. Mm-hmm. Like the Scottish Parliament, a kind of parliamentary working group on women, the cross-party group for women in enterprise when it was being launched. And we're still having the same conversations now that we had 10 years ago. And I find that quite sad, that actually, you're right, how much has the ecosystem moved forward in positive ways, but in terms of its support, and particularly funded support for women-owned businesses, it hasn't really moved forward a great deal.
You know, and yet when you see, and these businesses I've been chatting to, that amazing women, there are hundreds of thousands of amazing women out there that could be doing similar. I just don't know, how do we get to these women? And you said, I picked up on something else you said there, Evelyn, women succeed despite, women can succeed despite everything. You know, you never use that really for a man, would you?
No, you're right, actually. That's interesting that I did think that. But I do think that because of the societal pressures that women are under, and even expectations around women, it is a succeeding despite everything. And I guess until that changes, and I think the Pathways report did acknowledge that, actually, you know, Anna Stewart's Pathways report acknowledged the fact that a lot of the problem was that the societal issues, the sort of, you know, inherent sexism, that expectation that women would run the home, would manage the children, would manage the elderly care, would, you know, would be careful with the household finances, all this kinds of stuff.
I know.
Which just makes it much more challenging.
Is there still an element of women, some women thinking that this is of not being part of it, not belonging, it's kind of a men's sphere? Is that, do you get that feeling coming from women that are potentially...
From those that are already in the ecosystem, no, mm-hmm. because they know and understand, you know, they're part of the ecosystem already. So if you are completely new to business, and this is a fantastic, the Scottish ecosystem is fantastic, it's very collegiate, and it is really mature, and there's so much support, but it's actually very intimidating for all businesses, but for a woman in business who is not already connected within that ecosystem, mm-hmm. entering into that, or actually us reaching out to find those businesses in places that we may not usually do, is something I know we've been speaking a lot about, trying to reach out into different communities to say, actually, we have this fantastic ecosystem, but how inclusive is that ecosystem? And does it cover everyone? Because there are lots of businesses, actually, that we're not aware of. We're only aware of the businesses we're aware of, but there is hundreds of thousands of other businesses. There's kind of businesses in rural areas, because the Central Belt is, there's so much support, and it's primarily focused in the Central Belt. And yes, there's other support in Highlands and Islands and borders with SOCI and Highlands and Islands.
Yeah, and there's a brilliant organisation called Grobus.
Yes,
run
exactly.
by Jackie Brierton.
Yes, and there's so many fantastic. But there is so many other businesses, they're not even aware, actually, of the support that's available to them. So it's how do we reach out to those?
Yeah, because so we had an independent assessment done of Scottish Edge a few years ago now. One of the things they did look at was, you know, women coming into the competition and their experience of the competition as part of a whole number of things. But one of the things they concluded and said to me is that the Edge offered equality of opportunity. In fact, what they said is that looking at the figures, if you came into Edge, you actually had a slightly higher chance of winning as a women business, and perhaps that's because we're so
focused
on it. But he said there's no, but you don't have a quality of access. He said because at the funnel, there's just not enough women coming in.
Yeah,
it's the base that's the problem.
Oh, yes,
and that's the bit. That we really want to affect, and we're not sure how to affect. And I'd love to be sitting here and saying, "Oh, it's, you know, it's getting markedly better." The truth is, it's not. And But the positive thing is things like this report, things like the Rose Review at the Royal Bank of Scotland, and I guess just the general focus that most of the ecosystem organisations have on supporting women, at least we've got our eye on it, and we're trying to push the water uphill. We're trying to make a difference.
I don't want to get political in any way, but it would be nice to have a kind of big push or a big steer from up on high, wouldn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and maybe we could have somebody going into schools to talk to girls about setting up their own businesses. You know, maybe we could be doing things like that. Why isn't that really happening?
And they do. They have fantastic organisations that do that, like Young Edinburgh Scotland, and there's other organisations, but they're one small organisation. And actually, I know kind of almost by the time that we get businesses, if they're coming into an accelerator, it's almost too late. And it's not that it's too late, but actually I don't understand why entrepreneurship is not part of the national curriculum and seen as a viable alternative to having a career, like other careers or apprenticeships or further education. Or
yeah. What about finance? You know, in your both of your experience, how women approach raising the businesses that you have and raising finance, I mean, that's can be quite an intimidating area, can't it?
Yes, very much so. And I think for women in particular, I think things are changing a bit, but in the past, often they would be approaching angel syndicates or VCs that were predominantly run by men. And so So now we do have Investing Women in Scotland, we've got Mint Ventures, and obviously we've got the Investing in Women Code, which is trying to overcome this, but the numbers are still tiny. Yeah. And it's still less than 5% VC capital goes to women-led businesses in the UK.
Yeah, and I think there's a number, again, there's a number of reasons for this. Actually, we have heard some, as have you, we've heard some terrible stories, and still do. I heard one just last week, which was, again, alarming that this still happens. And whether it's unconscious or not, that bias still exists towards women's businesses. And it could be that it's sectoral.
I'm quite disappointed that things seem to be a little bit bleak, having the businesses I have talked to have been incredible. So
I think the message that I would say to people that are listening is things are changing, and the publication of reports like the Pathways report. And I know that the Scottish Government at the moment, I mean, I'm meeting the Scottish Government next week, and I know one of the things they're going to be talking to me about is what can we do to support them to try and turn the dial to make a difference. You know, there's various recommendations that Anna made in the report that I know that are being worked through at the moment and looked at to see how can we actually, you know, what initiatives can we undertake, can we introduce that is going to make a difference. And I think I'd also like people that are listening to this to know that we hear you, we see you, you know. Yeah. So if there's women out there listening that are interested in coming into business, we can guarantee that we will welcome you.
Let's say there's that one person that is listening right now that's thinking she's got a great idea and she thinks she can make it work. What would be her next step?
Get in touch with either your local business gateway, get in touch with one of our local enterprise managers that we have, who are all women in business specialists. Reach out to someone and ask for help. Go along to kind of Google, find out who your local kind of networking group is. Go along there, start to introduce yourself and your business to kind of other businesses, just to get started. I would say don't let that put you off. It sounds like we're not being negative, we're being realistic, but actually we spend all of our days with businesses who have incredibly positive stories. This is what we do every day, but also from a strategic perspective, see long term what the challenges are. But yeah, just I would always encourage just start.
Yes, have that first conversation. Yeah. And the thing is that because the sort of Scottish business support ecosystem is very linked, it's not a linear system. I'd read this. I got sent this report yesterday on the Scottish entrepreneurial ecosystem, and it was saying it's not a linear system; it's a hub and spoke system. So we kind of connect everybody. And there are specific organisations. There's the amazing Women's Enterprise Scotland organisation. There's Accelerate Her. So there's specific organisations. If you want to just approach an organisation that only deals with women, you can do that. Or you can go into your local business gateway, or you can reach out and join one of the Royal Bank of Scotland hubs, or you can reach out to Edge and say, I'm interested in coming into the competition. It's about just having that first conversation and feeling that support that comes with those conversations, because the reality is there is a lot of organisations that really want to work with you, help you to move your business forward.
So what would be, they've done that, what would be give me an idea of the pathway to maybe get into a Scottish Edge final where you're competing for funding. How would that work from somebody that's just gone from an idea to that?
We have an early stage part of our competition, so if you have an idea, you can come into our wildcard Edge competition, where you could win up to £10,000. While you're doing that, you could also apply to the Royal Bank Accelerator or to another organisation that can give you support and sort of help you work through your plan for your business and you know, how you're going to take your idea forward, you know, because it may be that there is some development involved in that initially, and how are you going to fund that? So I guess it's difficult because there's no straightforward path. It depends on the idea, but I guess the key thing is that whatever organisation you speak to should be able to sort of understand the particular challenges the idea that you've come up with is going to face and help guide you through as you resolve those issues and start to move your business forward.
I don't want to necessarily put women against men here, but, you know, is women's approach to business entrepreneurship different from men's?
So that's a tricky one. I mean, we see a couple of interesting things that make it different. And I know Mandy's very aware of this. So, for example, at Scottish Edge, you can apply for up to 100,000. And what we find is that men almost always apply for the 100,000 and women apply for what they think they need. Now, obviously, that's a gross generalisation because you get some men that come in for less and some women that come in for more. But that's a trait that we've seen over the years. And the other thing we've seen is I guess, so people will say that women are risk averse, but they just have heightened risk awareness. So sometimes they present a much more measured and thoughtful and considered path forward. So they may be presenting much more modest projections, for example.
And we see that all the time. And women, I find it challenging when I hear women are not ambitious enough and they are risk averse. I don't agree. I think women don't lack any ambition at all in their business or their idea. Having been through that journey myself, I could see the vision. I know I wanted to kind of globalise my business at some point. And I think it's Evelyn's right in what she says. It's not that they're averse to funding or debt or the amount of funding. It's just they take a much more considered approach. And actually, we have evidence to suggest that considered approach is much more profitable.
Yeah, I was going to say,
and it's less based on
that must be an attribute then.
It's more based on profit. Absolutely. So, and it's something that we don't talk about enough. Yeah. And it's not recognised.
And what are the other attributes that women entrepreneurs bring to the table, would you say, compared to men?
They're collaborative and collegiate, and they build a really good network of support around them.
And build very strong teams.
Very, very strong teams is a huge... I would say, and more comfortable. And again, we could be generalising. This is based on our experience only, so it's our perspectives of it. They build teams around them, and don't feel threatened by building teams around them that are better than they are.
Let's talk about, just before we finish, just about one or two of the hugely successful businesses that we've been talking about over the course of previous weeks. And I've met some brilliant women. I mean, which of these businesses? Are there any particular ones that stand out for you, or particular aspects of their journey where you thought that they've come back, or because there are twists and turns in all of the tales, aren't there?
You
must get a lot of satisfaction also from seeing them blossom.
Huge amount of satisfaction. I mean, I know that you've spoken to Caris Gill at Social Stories Club, and Caris struggles with dyslexia. I'm sure she will have spoken about that. And, you know, but she still decided she was going to come through Scottish Edge and, you know, fill out the form despite the challenges that she faced and, you know, pitch on the stage, you know, win that money. And seeing the growth in that business and the values that she personally brings to the business and the impact she has in her team, it's just fantastic. But there's so many. I mean, obviously, I'm a huge fan of Molk. And the jobs that they have created and the values that they've brought and the way that they treat their workforce. There's just so many. I was lucky enough to go and visit Beira in Edinburgh last week. I don't know if you've talked to that business, Antoinette. And, you know, talking about ambition, she is fabulously ambitious and doing something just incredibly interesting. So I think we're
and
so
purpose. I mean, she's driven. And again, the other thing we see, actually.
In fact, all of those.
All of the businesses. Yeah. And I think, again, and it's not that it's very, I think women base their businesses on a real pain, a purpose. It's coming from personal experience for many of them, not all of them. And actually, I just think the depth of emotional connection they have with their values and why they're in business and why they want to grow their business. And often it's very community-minded, or they're trying to solve
an issue. Do you think that's also a product of the time, or do you think that's always been there with women?
I don't know. It's maybe a bit of both.
Yeah.
I think there's a potentially a product of the time, but actually, I think women are really community-minded. It's not that most of the businesses that we see come through our accelerator hubs in some way or another. Mm-hmm. They all have a real connection to either a kind of real purpose or a real kind of issue they have, whether it's environmental or an issue within the community. That's something that really shines through, I feel, in the businesses that come through our accelerator.
What about the current crop that are just at that early stages of startup that you're kind of looking at right now? What kind of businesses are they? What are we seeing?
Well, we've got some really interesting businesses, but two female-led ones that spring to mind. One is around the menopause, run by a company called Gloria, run by a lovely girl called Jessica Watson.
Yes, she's.
Yeah. And actually, that's around, it's a niche product, but one I think a huge amount of women will want. And another female-led business, which isn't actually robotics, but robotics for the care sector, particularly at the moment aimed with people with dementia. And it's a care robot, which kind of moves and interacts with people like a pet, but also has sensors embedded in it that can tell different things about the health of the individual that's interacting with
wow.
it.
So it's just some of the business ideas.
So it's just fabulous.
Yeah.
And finally, you know, well, we could talk for ages, but we kind of can't. But anyway, so just one final question to you both. I mean, what in your particular spheres, what gives you most satisfaction, or what has given you the most satisfaction over the years of being involved in women entrepreneurship? Evelyn, first of all, what's...
I think it's the confidence that women get when things go well with their business. And I think the great sense of satisfaction they get from creating jobs, delivering a fantastic product or service. And I think, you know, I think that feeling very proud of what they've achieved, because there is a little feeling of that being a little bit against the odds. So I think that's great. It's fantastic when you see someone from the very early stages saying, I'd like to do that. And then you see them a few years down the line and you can see that they've achieved that. That's fantastic.
It's just
what
fantastic.
About you, Mandy?
Vicarious joy.
Yeah, that, and it is joyous, isn't it? I would say we're blessed to work. I every day feel blessed. I think it's a privilege for us to work in these types of roles, supporting businesses, and I completely agree with Evelyn, that is absolutely joyous, that feeling. But equally for me, I think what's really important is that person also has the same trust and confidence to pick up the phone when times are not great and be honest about when times are not great. And but actually, so to me, just as important is their willingness and trust to pick up the phone and say, things are not going well, could you come and have a cup of coffee with me? I just need to talk this over with somebody.
And Alison, back at you is the last question. You've
she's good.
You've now had a few weeks, a couple of months actually, speaking to these amazing women. How has that inspired you?
Oh gosh,
your business?
I mean that with a sports background, you know, the determination, the perseverance, the recovery from setback is all there in women entrepreneurs, isn't it? And these women all have these characteristics. And I think sometimes they don't realise how deep they can go and how the resilience is, because you need that too. And women have that in droves. And that's really
Absolutely.
What's probably,
yeah.
you know, struck me more than anything. I just wish there was more women out there just realising there's an opportunity here and there's help. You know?
Oh, yes, so much help.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's so I think ending on a positive note, we must.
Yes, encourage.
great tales, great stories. And these women that are the current crop that are doing so well now, they're going to hopefully inspire, because they all talk to each other. They network and talk to each other.
Absolutely. And that's a huge part of them being successful in their business, is building that community around them. That's, we were just talking about this earlier, weren't we?
And again, we're lucky that we can give these women a platform to shine. And we want to do that.
Yeah.
We're starting
moving in the right direction.
We're moving in the right direction, and we're laying the foundations for change. And I think, and we're, I think there's just much more transparency now, which I think will drive change as well. So that's all positive.
Yeah, the open and honest conversations, I think, that we can have now, and that actually, in a positive way, encouraged way, much more so than maybe 5 or 10 years ago.
Well, that's good to know. Thank you so much, Evelyn and Mandy. That was brilliant. Your inspiring words, your stories. Great to talk to you both. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our Women Entrepreneurs is supported by the Royal Bank of Scotland, providing accredited specialist support for women in business today and every day in the form of free help, expertise and guidance. Whether you want to chat with one of the local enterprise managers, are interested in the Accelerator programme, or would benefit from a mentor session on the Women in Business mentoring platform Mentor Match, go to rbs.co.uk/business and search Women in Business to find out more. Meanwhile, keep an eye and an ear out for the next episode of Our Women Entrepreneurs on Mic'd Up, coming soon. Thanks for listening.